Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. And press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
-7 on the West Coast. And, you know, I never asked Gunnar about this, but it was unseasonably warm in Texas, and now it got cold again. What happened? You guys have a heat wave or something?
Yeah, it was. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Does that sound better? Because I'm on a new headset.
Yeah, the microphone's better.
Oh, good. Yeah, it was like 80 degrees yesterday, dude.
It was like 63 at like 7 o'clock in the morning here, or 9 o'clock in the morning your time. I was like, what the hell? Where did that come from? Because it sure as hell didn't come from the West Coast.
No, I don't know. But today, this morning, it's freaking cold out again.
Yeah.
That's good, though. Keep it different.
Killing
bugs.
The microphone is way clearer, too.
Really?
Well done. I don't know. Sometimes if you get too much bass in a microphone, and sometimes it's the way you adjust it, and sometimes it's just the configuration itself, it sounds bigger and fuzzier.
This has got a bigger, fuzzier mic, you know.
Oh, noise. The mic itself?
Yeah, and it's headset, better mic.
Yeah, no, you could sound it. You sound it. So what's been going on? What's been going on lately?
Oh.
Okay, let me ask you. I had Jeff Kenny and Tim Lynch on, okay, and so my friends, I mean, okay, look, we're not like Harvard people, okay? We're like normal guys who get in trouble, right? Okay, so and do stupid shit. Okay, so with that said, Mike, have you ever gone to a party with a Ku Klux Klan outfit on or with blackface on, thinking that was going to be really funny?
Not one of those, but I did go to a party as a SS officer.
An SS officer in the German army?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? That's in poor taste, but it certainly doesn't.
No, it wasn't.
It certainly doesn't tell you. Well, the SS could be problematic. If I was Jewish, I'd have a problem with it. Yes.
Why? You know, it's like this is why I get so upset with this stuff.
I know how you do it, but I would tell you, if I was Jewish, I would look at you and say, "You think that shit's fucking funny?"
No, it's not why I'm wearing it. I look good in it. That's what my answer would have been.
Okay, then if I would have been Jewish and you said that, then you know what has to happen next, right? Then we would have fought. Okay. So I mean, but to me, a Ku Klux Klan outfit from the time we were little kids until the time we're sitting here today was never fucking funny. That's my only point. My point is that, like, even my friends who are jackasses, right? We all looked at stuff like that and said, "I've never done that." Okay.
Oh, I have. Not a Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, thank you. So if you want to try to elevate something else to that level, we can argue about that. But you haven't even gone there, okay? And you wouldn't go there. Because it ain't funny.
No.
And I get your point. I get your point. And let me just, and I used your example yesterday. The Attorney General for the state of Virginia is now drug into this. He, imitating a rap group, right, bought an Afro wig with two of his buddies, and they did this rap thing, and they darkened their face. Now, that, if you want to link that to blackface in the 30s and Al Jolson and the suppression of black entertainers, blah, 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 to me, that's a reach, okay? And maybe if he knew all of that, he would have said, okay, well, maybe that was a little bit insensitive. But let me think, his intention was not to do anything harmful to anybody.
Right.
Okay? And so when people then make that link and go, blackface! It's like, no, don't you understand? I was being the rapper so-and-so. You can't do that! Right. Okay. He was 19 and stupid. Like, that is not anywhere close to the rest
of
that shit.
And that's what, you know, it's like, again, the things that I've done in my life that were stupid or been classified as stupid. I mean, shit, today it would have been a capital offense for some of those things. But it was not intentional. My intent was not to go out and do a demonstration or a message saying that I hate these type of people or I think that this is, no, it was just, hey, you know what? You know, so what about all the movies that are done depicting the stuff? You know, what about, I mean, where do we stop? Where does it all end?
Where does it all end?
That's the scariest part of this whole discussion that we're having, is where does this stop? It doesn't. Because what one person takes, you know, it's just, he did it, poor taste, all right, fine. Don't hold it against the guy. You know? I mean, it's insane, man. I want to stay away from that stuff.
No, that you can't, that again, a stupid mistake when you're a kid now is held against you forever. You know?
Yeah, and I think where the stupidity keeps happening is when they don't admit it. Like, I think in that case, he first said, this is not me.
Candy Graham.
Like, fuck, Jesus. Yeah. Candy Graham. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
It is crazy. No, it is crazy. And you
that's
watch
not
it.
You? No, that's like, not me. Dude. Who's that guy standing next to your two sisters, your mom and dad? Not me.
Not me. No.
Who's that guy with the name sign around his neck that says Mike McNamara? Not me.
Not me. Friend. Something. Unknown.
Kenny Graham.
Exactly. Yeah, no. But see, to me, what you have to do is you have to own it. And you have to throw yourself on the mercy of the court. You have to say, that's me, right?
I did it.
And I did it. Right. I'm aghast that I did it now, but there's nothing I can do about it. The only thing I can do is to prove to you by the way that I conduct myself on a daily basis that I've grown up from that stuff and I've learned from that stuff, and I just want to apologize to anybody.
It's not what it's about anymore, though.
But that's the only, way you can do it.
It's crucifixion. That's what they want. Yeah. I mean, they don't want anything short than your blood.
But they only want it if it's if they're the other
if
party.
It furthers their cause.
Right. So the Democrats like nothing to see here. We need to get to the bottom of this. Wait a minute, Brett Kavanaugh. What do you mean you need to get to the bottom of it? It was ready, fire, aim on that. It was fire, aim, ready. I mean, you didn't even like. There was no quarter cut that dude.
Yeah.
Oh.
Why are you bringing up the past? You know, that's so immature of you to bring up the past like that, right?
Well, we've learned from Kavanaugh, and now we want to make sure we do the right thing. Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you did. Oh, man. So, no, it's hilarious. But anyway, just for the record. Wait, so you were talking about, you said it was cold there. What have you been doing?
Cold. I'm editing some video.
Uh-oh.
In my video editor for some training stuff, for the cop stuff, so it's, what I'm doing is I'm taking it live, interactive. So, what I did was I drove around town with a dashboard cam and then recorded all the streets. And then I have that video footage. So what I'm doing is I'll take a segment of video where I want it of live driving, and then I'll pause that segment. You know, it could be a 2-minute, 3-minute clip, and then I'll input it in, like an accident or some type of scenario where there's a car and I've had superimposed license plate, driver's license, the whole nine yards. So you have to, as this comes up, you talk your way through it and what the procedure would be to do this, 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 this. So it's all interactive. And it's nice because you got to pay attention to the video because you got to know where you're at. You got to report on the radio to dispatch using the address of looking at where you're at, you know, 3700 block, East 377, you know, that type of stuff. You know, so it's interactive.
So what do they do? Does it stop then? You start answering questions?
Yeah, it's only, so I have like an hour of video driving around town.
Right.
So I've been doing is cutting segments out of that and then putting them into scenarios where you're driving and then I'll put a car in there with license plates so you can read it. And then those will be independent videos all wrapped into one. So it'll be 12 different scenarios, like in a 30-minute clip, right? So it'll pause after every scenario, mouse click, it starts up again, new place, new incident.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I've been doing that today, a little bit of last night. I took a pause. I have a whiteboard in here, and I have all this code written down. And I, you know, now it's relearning code again. It's like, oh, some of this shit's super simple. All right, to get that picture to embed in all of these, then it's got to be on this line of code, and you know, this PNG file's got. Yeah, I got it, man. That's easy. And then I'll do all that, and then I'm like, what happened to all the body of the text? Like, then I'm backtracking. I'm like removing all those PNG files. And then I'm like, okay, where did I? So I have the code written. I have code written down on this board. And I'm following this step by step process. But it's just, it's nerve wracking. And it's like, oh, why? Computer, man invented you. Why are you being this way?
Why are you being? Because you're a chimp. You don't know, you don't understand yet.
I'm getting there. But I will understand.
No doubt. But the first, when you first learned, like, I was thinking about this the other day. One of the greatest inventions ever in software applications is that arrow that takes you back one step.
Right? Oh, the redo.
Right?
Yep.
You're working undo. On something, and redo. All of a sudden, like, everything goes away. You're like,
yep. Control Z on my PC, and then it's on my Mac. It's, I forget what it is. But Control Z, baby, Control Z.
Before they had that thing, that was no bueno.
Oh, dude, a lot of laptops got broken.
Oh my god! Yeah, you would be working on something, and then you would do something bad, and they didn't have that.
Yeah.
It was all gone. And hopefully, you had a previous version saved, but.
Yeah, I have, and that's what I did.
And there was there's no autosave on it, not like there is now. Like, it saves it every 3 minutes or some shit. There was none of that. You're like, oh my god, what did I just do? And you had to start over. And now, though, I mean, look at all the shit you can do. I mean, look what you're doing. You're doing something that only, like, video like, cinematographic people did. Film editing, you know, audio editing, combining that into some presentation. It's crazy what you
I've do. Always done that, though. I mean, I did that when I was in the Marine Corps.
Yeah, but no, but you know what I'm talking about.
For effect, yeah. I just did it for effect.
Yeah, but when you start out with computers, I mean, there were essentially word processing systems that we used. And now, you know, from the time we started using them to now what you can do with them, you know, all kinds of jobs have been eliminated because you don't need to go to anybody to do that. Oh, you could do that yourself. Oh, really? I could edit video, put it in this, do that. Yep, you just got to sit down and learn it, which you're doing. No, I like that. I like the whole creative thing, piece of it, and then seeing it all work, and then going, oh, and now that you know that, you could now do this. Oh, shit. Well, anyway, so pretty cool.
It is good.
Who told me to say hello to you? Somebody told me. Oh, Nugent told me to say hello to you.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He was telling me, he's one of my heroes, Ian Furness. I'm like, okay, this conversation just ended, okay? Because those two ass clowns, if they're your heroes, you got issues.
Then you got a hero issue.
Yeah, exactly. So he sends me an email, and he calls me Mr. McNamara. So I call down to his number, and the staff sec answers it, right? And some captain. I said, hey, captain. My name is Mike McNamara. I just got an email from the chief of staff. Is he there? He said, no, sir. Well, he's here, sir, but he's tied up with somebody, so I picked his phone up. I said, okay, you tell that ass clown something. He's like, sir? I said, you tell that ass clown if he ever calls me Mr. McNamara, I'm not coming down there, okay? Tell him that. Make sure. He says, well, sir, how about if I tell him a version? I said, no. You say, sir, and I quote, okay?
Yeah, that gets you out of
trouble. Yeah, that's like it's and
like
I quote.
All due respect.
Yeah, is better than all due respect because you know that so they're going to say something disrespectful. This is saying somebody else said this about you, and I'm not going to clean it up because I think it's funny. Boom, and hit them with it. So, and he was laughing. He said, okay, sir. And then Nugent called me, and so we start talking. He goes, oh, I said, how do you know Mike? Go, God, I've known him forever, you know? I was the 5th Marines. I was 1st Marines. You know, he said, so I'm like, I grew up with him, you know?
Yeah.
And same thing with General Furness. He said, those guys are my heroes. I'm like, all right, bro, you got some fucking issues, okay? You might want to go see a therapist.
Paul's got a great, he's got a great family. He's just a, you know, those guys you kind of get envious of. You know, you're like, man, this guy's got it all. Smart, funny. He's not good looking like me, though. But he's got that going against him. But he's got everything else. I mean, I'm not saying I don't, but he's the whole, you know, you're like, man, that dude's got it all. He's got it all. What a lucky guy.
Yeah, no. And he's doing good in his career too. So he knows he knows the right people, and so that's good. So that's good. So yeah, and I saw. Let's see. Last night I saw the Marine Corps Association and Foundation dinner in conjunction with the Marine West Expo. So General Osterman there as a guest speaker. General Toulin. Who else? Chris Woodbridge there. Will Cosentini there.
What?
Yeah, this is a Marine Corps West Expo or Marine West Expo out here in California. So that dinner, so got a chance to hang out with Will afterwards. And
how's the Don doing?
He's doing good. He's doing good. He's doing good.
And I mean, then I talked to him a lot, but
he in the middle of the dinner, we're sitting there, and actually General Faulkner was speaking. So it was before we ate, and then General Osterman spoke after everybody ate. So General Faulkner is speaking. And I get this text message, hey, Mac, what table are you at? We're at table 13. And I said, I'm at table 16. Now, it's a 703 area code, so it's like I know it's somebody I know, right? It's one of my jackass friends. But I don't have their number in my phone, so I don't know who it is. So I text back, who the fuck is this? ? So I get back, it's Mike and Mary Regner.
That's what the F word gets you in trouble there.
So Regner comes over with his wife in tow when Faulkner's done speaking and comes over and he pushes me. He goes, that was funny as shit, man. I said, was that your wife's phone? He goes, yeah, I didn't have my phone and I had your card, so I had to send you. I'm like, dude, that's a samurai violation. Hey, Mac, this is my wife's phone. That's code for don't say any crazy shit when you email. But
how about just not send crazy shit anyway?
No, come on. You know your friends think that's funny.
Don't blame them.
Who the fuck is this? Because you know what? When you say it and send that to one of your friends, what do? It pisses them off. Hey, asshole, it's so-and-so.
No, it's a lesson that you should be better.
Come on. Oh, you should be better. Because it's a sign of intellectual weakness.
This is not about me.
To use profanity.
Don't turn this around on me.
I'm not.
I'm talking about you.
What? Like, what is it to talk about?
You should always be talking like you're in church. did you believe me for a second?
You can't even say it with a straight fucking face.
Let me try it again. Take two. Wait.
You can't.
Here we go.
You can't.
Mac.
You can't. Wait. It was like that bullshit day when you said, hey, you got to quit cussing during the third hour. You know, other people listen. And they're like.
I'm weak. I follow my peers. I'm a follower.
Nice. Yeah, and
yeah,
no,
like
he
Cobra in the pit. Wait, yeah. Come here, little birdie, come on.
Lured a man with a piece of bread. Oh, my God.
Yep. Come closer, little birdie. I'm just a poor, helpless little snake stuck in this pit.
The yeah, so then I see Cosentini, but he doesn't see me. So I send him a text. Look at 12 o'clock. So, like, he's sitting, like, 12 o'clock from me to him, right? And so
yeah.
He looks at the text, and he looks up, and he looks at, like, 10 o'clock. I'm like, what, is he stupid? And so he's looking at 10 o'clock, and then finally he turns his scan, and he sees me, and I mouth, that's not fucking 12 o'clock.
Was Terry with him?
No, he's by himself. They had a board meeting, so he flew in for the board meeting, and they did their shtick in conjunction with everything else that was going that's been going on. So anyway,
yeah.
So just fun seeing friends. Do you know Mike Frazier? Mike Frazier, Brad Lee on the.
Do I know Mike Frazier?
Yeah, Mike Frazier, funny. I just wire brush the shit out of him. Okay, let me ask you this: true or false? Is this headline true or false? Okay.
All right. Shoot.
Air Force General calls himself out for wearing upside down ribbon rack during the State of the Union address. True or false? Hello?
Well, true?
It is true. Mike. How could something? Okay, question. Have you ever worn your ribbons upside down? Ever?
No, never. Maybe a star by accident.
Okay, but no. But we're talking about the rack upside down.
Never, ever.
Okay. To the State of the Union address. I don't even know how you do it. How do you do it?
I saw the picture. Yeah, Bob Neller's there. Joe's there. And then the guy's in the middle, in the back, and you're like,
down.
You look at it, and you're right. There's a distinguished service medal. It's like right there on the bottom right-hand side. Everything's upside down. And you know what? I wonder if he blamed his aide.
No, he took full responsibility. He didn't blame the aide. But we all know that it's the aide's fault. It's both their fault. I don't understand how you'd not, when they hand you your coat, you put it on, you look, you know, like you didn't notice that? Like, it doesn't look like that.
So here's his Twitter page. General Joseph Lingo. What's wrong with this picture? I'll give you a hint. It's why they keep putting erasers on pencils. No, that's not why, but
why.
Anyway.
Not good one. Nice try, though.
Answer. The ribbons on my uniform are upside down. Let this be a lesson. Don't let this happen to you. It doesn't happen to me. You know why, General? Because I have attention to detail.
Exactly.
Let this be a lesson to you.
No, stupid. Let it be a lesson to you that you're stupid.
Yeah, let it be a lesson to you. That's why they say it's not, you know, as I was, and not as you were, it's as I was. Because you're the one that screwed up, boy. I used to hate that. They're like, you know, as you were. Whoa, 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 whoa. As I was?
What is that?
What did I do to screw up? That was your job.
I didn't even really understand. As I was, what does that mean, Mike? Because you hear it like...
It's like an excuse to unscrew yourself.
As I was. That means I made a mistake and I'm trying to bail myself out of it?
Well, yeah, and it's as you were. You know, that was the whole gist of it. As you were...
Okay, here's another news-related question.
Okay.
Were you surprised that the President's State of the Union speech drew a 76% positive rating from the population of the country?
Yes.
A little bit, right?
A little bit?
I was cringing, right? It's like, you know what I'm talking about. It's not what he does good. He's going to say something crazy.
I can't watch him public speak, man. It's like... One of my greatest weaknesses is the sound of styrofoam being broken.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I'll have to go buy some.
It's that squeaking noise, you know? I'm like, right now, I'm cringing thinking about it. Like, if something comes, like Christmas, everything's got to be out of styrofoam. Otherwise, I got to walk out of the room. And then they got to undo it.
Really?
Yeah, I can't be around it.
Stand by for the far. Stand by for
that,
the styrofoam
that
show.
Sound, that stuff? Like, and so that feeling I get every time he starts talking. Same. I just noticed it. I'm like, who's got styrofoam? Where's styrofoam? I can hear it. No, it's him. It's him talking.
Yeah.
Again, I like the guy. I like his policies. I like things that he's done. But his public speaking? Yeah. Oh, not loud.
I was cringing. Honestly, I was cringing.
Yeah.
And then, but I watched it. I watched
that
the whole.
You know,
I watched
how
the
many
thing?
Times are you going to say the wall's going to be great in a paragraph?
Right.
No, five
a
times?
A lot.
No, I got it.
Great healthcare. The best healthcare in the world.
Did I mention about how great this healthcare is going to be?
Yeah.
Because it's going to be great. Just truly, 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 truly great.
It's gonna be
truly great.
It's going to be the
great.
Best. Going to be the best.
Great. Truly great.
Let me tell you, as much as we have bagged on him, you have to give him high marks. He stuck to the script. He struck a very conciliatory tone. And reached out across the aisle, reached out to women. The veterans that were there that stuff was awesome. And then they sang happy birthday to the one dude, and he yelled, thank you! Like, it was some kind of, like, party going on.
I mean, he's
on.
Done
was,
some...
Yeah. Good.
He's not, you know, if a lot of people, a lot of critics should look at him, and he's not what they, you know, he just made Martin Luther King's birthhouse a national park. You know, a national, first time... And it's done like that in Georgia. I mean, he reaches across all parts of it. He understands how important Martin Luther King is. You know, he does things. He's not one of these guys that, you know, they try and paint him in his corner.
But he is. Come on, look. He plays loose and fast with the truth, and he's done that his whole life. But on that's the downside. The upside is this other stuff that other politicians talk about, he does, right? The embassy to Jerusalem. People have been saying that forever. He does it. The economic confrontation for China has been long with China has been long overdue. You know, and you had weak presidents before him would not go there, not because it wasn't the right thing to do for the country, because they didn't have the political guts to do it. You know, and they
right.
they didn't hold NATO to task, and so NATO floundered financially, and so he's. Let me say, he's not afraid, but he is his own worst enemy with his mouth when he gets off script and he says stuff he shouldn't say, and then he tries to kind of walk it back or whatever. So for him to be disciplined in a speech like that, I mean, 76% of the country react favorably. Like, come on, what are we, a bizarre world tonight? What happened? What just happened?
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, no. I was impressed. There was one other story I had. I'll find it. What else is going on? Are you doing anything else exciting?
What's today? Thursday?
Yes.
Not right this minute. Like I said, I'm doing this. Where's my phone? I'll tell you what my calendar says. So... I have dinner tomorrow and a show with Ron and Brenda and my wife. So we're going to dinner and we're going to a show.
What show?
Max Stallings.
Huh?
Max Stallings.
What is that? What is
he's
Max Stallings?
He's a singer. He's a country western singer.
Oh.
We've seen him before. We've met him. We've met him a few times. So him and his wife. His wife is the fiddle player. And, man, she is good.
Fiddles are pretty.
No, you can't have a country band without a fiddle player.
You cannot, literally.
No.
At least not a good one. So So you're gonna go see them perform. That's cool. All right.
Did you see Nancy Pelosi's clap? How pathetic is she? You know.
Her what? Did I see what?
Her clap.
No. You mean during the speech?
Well, yeah, well, she said that poignant, you know, like, she's, like, reaching out, and she does that stupid, immature, five-year-old.
Yeah, I let me tell you, I try not to pay any attention to because, and you know me, both sides nauseate me with this stupid shit.
Yeah.
Right, and, I mean, and it's just, American politics suck. right? And you know, then there was the story yesterday that there was going to be that Nancy Pelosi was open to some kind of negotiated agreement about border security and going forward. And you're like, what? What just happened? And so that's, we'll see what happens. So, I mean, like, oh my God, you mean they'll actually solve a problem? Like, what's going on in Washington, D.C.? Because that's
and even
not normally how they do it.
Christine Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's daughter, responded to her mother's immaturity.
Oh, really? She badmouthed her mom? She
just said this, and that picture of that clapping out there, and it says, oh, yes, that clap took me back to teen years. She knows, and she knows that you know, and frankly, she's disappointed that you thought this would work, but here's a clap.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's like, come on, Mom, grow up.
Yeah, I guess I've never heard her daughter speaking out, but that's the second time I've heard of her in like the last couple of weeks. She made a comment a couple of weeks ago about her mother when the whole government shutdown thing was, and she said, "Yeah, my mom, she'll rip your head off. If you get in a fight with my mom, that's how she is." Like, whoa. Ah. Well, Nancy, and she did. She just let him, like, you shut it down, you eat it, and then he had to back away from it. Here's an email.
Oh yeah,
Mac, when are we going to do Gun Talk again? Mike, when are we going to do Gun Talk?
We can do it tomorrow. You want to talk about it tomorrow?
You know, I'm going to be down at the Marine Expo, and I should have some interesting stuff to ask you about tomorrow. But that's not Gun Talk. How about we do Gun Talk on Monday? And you can pick a topic you want to talk about. Because we've done it about different weapons and whatnot, but you can pick a topic. Do you want to pick a topic you want to talk about?
We'll talk about ballistics again.
What are we going to
science?
Talk about? The science of guns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to get Leonard Nimoy's little science clip in there, though.
The audio thing.
What's that? How did he do that? What was that little saying that he did?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't. I never watched it. I hate science. Let me tell you why I hated science. You can't bullshit science.
That's why I like science.
Oh, I hate it. That's like in class. It's like, how do I like? Because if I could read the question, I could normally. I paid enough attention that I could like craft something to get a C. Science, when you don't know it, you don't know it, man. You're screwed.
Yeah, see, that's why I like science. There's no way around science. I'll have to find that clip, because there is that clip where he hosted that show about outer space and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll find that clip. That was funny.
On this date in history, in 1927, commercial transatlantic telephone service was inaugurated between New York and London. Can you imagine that? Those rubes? Right? Holy shit. It's London calling.
Yeah. Hey, do you know how they did that?
They just laid a cable, right, across the ocean. Yeah.
Yeah, and when they did the cable stuff, yeah, it's on a ship. They just unspooled the ship, man.
That's crazy. When you look at it, you're like, so you just laid a cable across the world? Yeah. How did you put it together? Was it joints to it?
If you look at laying cable under the sea and then, like, how do they connect it? Because it's not one big, 3,000-mile cable on a ship. That would be ridiculous.
Well, if you could do it, it would be cool, but we don't have the ship to haul that son of a bitch out to sea and reel it out.
Yeah, it's the joints. So, like, how – so one of the things is how do they connect each cable?
How do it? Because anybody who's lived on the ocean, like Mike and I have, will tell you that salt water is no bueno for anything except fish.
And they did this in what year? 1927. Oh, no, they did it before that.
No, they didn't. Maybe with the telegraph.
Telegraph cable.
Okay. So the telegraph in when? 18 what?
The first look here and look it up. 1858.
How crazy is that? Telegraph.
Cable. The transatlantic telegraph cable that went from.
So how did they do the drawings?
That's what I've been looking for. I gave it up a while ago because I said the same thing. Like, okay, wait a second. You can't put 1,000 miles or more cable. So when they did it, it was, you know, 1,062 miles. Cable snapped. When they first did it, cable was snapped. The end was lost. So you got to start all over again. So how do you do the joints? What do the joints look like? How do you do it? You got to do it on the boat, of course.
Right.
But I never could find anything on the joints. I still can't. I'm looking right now. Now they have actual jetting tools that it's like a sled that rides along the bottom that actually buries it. It's like a, like almost like a farmer type thing.
It buries it. That's so the Russians can't dig it up and listen to all of our shit. Those
they can
of a
dig
business.
It up.
I know they're down there.
And the cable's actually on a spool. It's not on a spool, like vertical. It's horizontal. It pays out that way.
Wait a minute.
So
say it again.
Almost like a bobbin, like sewing bobbin. So when they do this stuff, the cable is actually on a. It lays flat. It's horizontal. It's not vertical. The spool, and it pays out like that.
Whoa.
Which is cool.
Whoa, yeah.
I guess you do that because, you know, you don't want the height on a ship. You don't want, you know, stability issues.
Didn't see that coming.
So, yeah, they do it with, they talk about it.
Like,
you put these balloon buoys up and then blah, 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 and then the other station puts this and then you connect it. Okay, well, how do you connect it? Well, you just plug it in, put some Vaseline around it, you know? What?
Yeah.
Put a Ziploc baggie around it?
Yeah, duct tape. They didn't have good. And salt water defeats all that shit, except maybe like 5 tons of Vaseline. Maybe it would take it a while to do that. Right? And then what would happen is some, like, sea urchin would come and eat the Vaseline off it, and then the salt water would get in and destroy it. So how did they do it?
If you look it up.
Quit stuttering.
I can't find it. That is like going to be one of my. But if you look at the cable,
yeah, how big is it?
It says the undersea cables that connect the world. Can you see? I'm sharing it right now.
I'm not looking.
Huh?
I'm watching a movie.
Look at that cable.
Wait, hold on. Oh shit! Well, how big is it? We need to have a human.
Like,
we need to have a human. That's like my coax cable on my TV.
Yeah, they're super small. But look, it's all around it.
Yeah, other cables.
Like all that. That's like anti-sea urchin steel.
And there's concentric rings of, looks like black plastic around it to coat these.
Yeah, but when you look at, there's like.
I want to see the first, I want to see it standing next to a human. What? How big is, there's a guy with his hand on it. But see that pipe? That nasty-ass pipe that you just had up there?
Yeah.
What's that? That's a Russian thing, isn't
it? That's an anchor. Do you look at you with your anchor or your Russian stuff? So this is all like.
Oh, I like, I like the diagram.
This is all the cable. This is every cable that's laid. Look at that. Oh,
that's a lot of cable.
Well, there's a map, so the Russians don't need. Just take this map, print it off the internet, and go find it. But I've been looking for... Wait, what's this? Connectors? No.
Yeah, how do you connect it? Regulator or amplifier? That's in there? Is that the connector?
No, that's an amplifier that just, when the signal goes across,
amplifies.
Kicks into that, shoots it across, and amplifies it.
There you go. It's like a pump station, right? For sewage, right? The gravity takes it so far, and then where it won't take it any further, boom, you got to amplify it. See?
I don't. Wait, what's this?
There's some kind of. There's a streamer, an array, an air gun array. What's the air gun?
I know.
Pushes it down?
I'm just trying to. I'm way out.
I find this fascinating. How do you lay the cables that got laid? And then how did they do it in 1858? Like, what did that shit look like?
Could you imagine? Yeah, what that would have looked like? That would have been
ginormous. Oh, the Beatles. How about that?
And then so... Okay, so let's see what happens here. See, here's a diver, but you can't have a diver go down.
I guess you could. The Russians do.
Here's the sled.
Yeah.
Oh, this is interactive.
Oh, you like interactive. This is done right in your wheelhouse. Oh, look at that. Cable lay. Why is there a house on the bottom of the ocean?
Because that's where the cable is being stored.
In the house? Under the sea?
Oh, look. See, the boat comes over. Okay. Meets. Okay. This is. Okay, let's skip this. This is the introduction period. Okay, the ship goes to sea. There's the sled. It's making a trough. The white thing right here is the cable. Look at that. That's cool.
No.
What if a whale jumped in front of it, though?
Are you sure that that white thing's a cable and not a fiber optic?
It's,
no, it's not. I think it's a fiber optic control that controls the hydraulic thing that's
tools,
doing
right?
this, doing the trench. Mike, we're watching.
I don't know. Keep
going. I want to see. Now there's the cable. There's an amplifier / connector.
That was an amplifier. Well, spooler right there.
All right. There's a trencher. It's flying. It's a flying trencher.
No, it knew that there was another cable.
So now.
See that other cable? It jumped over it.
Whoa.
For a cable crossing.
Oh. Yeah, they don't show you the cable very well.
No.
So the cable's up in the ship. See, when in the underwater, the lunar module just landed.
It's an inspecting sled, and it actually buried it.
Mike's reading the caption. I thought you knew that? Now we come to the other. How did the ocean floor get to be so flat? Did they plow it or did they roll it like farmers?
They have graders. Yeah, sea graders. I don't know. I thought the same thing.
They disked it they took the underwater tractor down there and disked it? Wow, it's unbelievable.
I wish you could. Oh, wait, here we go. Here's not flat.
How undersea internet fiber optic cables are laid on the ocean floor. See, that's how I thought it was. Just roll that shit out. Make sure it's got a little bit of slack in it so it can go where it needs to go. Last thing we need is Jacques Cousteau screwing up our cable. Why? Because Europeans got to watch their porn, too.
That's just so archaic.
Yeah, that's pretty ghetto. I would think that's how they laid the first, what do you call it? The telegraph cable.
Yeah. They had to do something. Here's a map again. Shows you all the cables, man.
There wasn't anybody going down there to do anything.
Okay, that's a lot of cable. There's a lot of it going between us and Europe. There's some that goes up to Alaska. I don't know why they do that. Just run that shit up through Canada. You think bad guys would get a hold of this, because there's a lot of banking information going across these things, too.
Yeah, the Russians, man.
See, and it goes back to, there's that.
But
there's the cable
again. But you love the Russians. When you see a picture.
I love the Russians.
When you see a picture of Putin, when you see a picture of Putin, do you say, hi, daddy?
Here's the transatlantic. 1858, man. Look at that.
Whoa. Yeah, that's serious shit right there, man. That is serious shit. So they laid it from, what is that, Nova Scotia? What is that?
United States to Nova Scotia to Newfoundland.
And then
across. Newfoundland, shoot, straight over to Ireland.
Ireland. Then England.
England. And that connected them to Europe.
Into Europe. How crazy.
But look at these guys, man. bunch of drunken.
Yeah, and you know that.
It looks like everybody's always drunk in 1850s.
Why is that? No wonder Prohibition became popular. I've never really understood Prohibition until right this second.
There's the actual,
On this spot?
Yeah. Site of the earliest message sent from, where is that, Valentina to America?
What's Valentina? Is that in Ireland?
Some island. I've never even been there, where this is at, so gotta go up and take a picture of that.
Pretty cool, though, when you think about that kind of early technology, in like 18, before 1860.
Look at the ship, dude. That was the ship that laid cable.
So what is it? It's like two tenders and then two smaller
ships? That, look how big that fucking thing is. It's in the back.
That's not one ship.
Yeah, it is.
No. It looks like it's more. It's got
called
one,
the Great Eastern.
It's got, show me another picture of the Great Eastern.
It's got a paddle wheel.
It's got paddle wheels at once, but that, so, wow.
Yeah, it's a big ship.
It's a gigantic ship, and that's what they went to see with all the cable in.
The SS Great Eastern. I always like these pictures, too. Look at that, dude.
They're in their black, like, frock coat with their Abraham Lincoln hat on and their vest and their gut sticking out.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking like he's somebody.
I never even heard of this ship. Look how big it is, dude.
The ship is gigantic.
And have you ever heard of the SS Great Eastern?
Never. Yeah. So how long was the ship? Our aircraft carriers were 1,000 feet. How long is this thing?
Where's the stats? Okay, here we go. It was 692 feet.
Bulls.
That's pretty good back in those days.
Little guy ship. If you can imagine.
For...
Two-thirds,
the keel was laid in...
Over two-thirds of the length of an aircraft carrier. Yeah.
And, I mean, like I said, I've never heard of this boat. It's a pretty boat. This is where it looks like it...
Something bad happened.
Yeah, it broke it up. They scrapped it.
Right there?
That would have been a cool ship to see back, you know, now.
Gigantic.
Yeah, the breakup at the end of her cable layering. That was the only she was built for laying the cable. But that sucks.
Efforts to make her a commercial success failed. She was used as a showboat, a floating palace concert hall, and a gymnasium. She acted as an advertising hoarding, sailing up and down the Mersey for Lewis's department store, who at this point were her owners before being sold. The idea was... the idea was to attract people to the store by using her as a floating visitor attraction. She was sold at auction in 1888, fetching £16,000 for her value as scrap.
£16,000? That's
how much is that
crazy.
Like? Is that like $50?
Oh, no, that's like maybe $19,000 U.S.
Nice.
But, yeah, so... I've never even heard of this boat.
No, there I don't. Oh, that's a beautiful, gigantic model of it. Look at that. Thing's ginormous. And all they had in there was cable.
Yeah.
That was cable. I wonder, so I'd be curious. Did it only take, did that have all the cable that it needed in there to do the whole thing? Or did they have to go and get more cable? And then, was it designed to be laid in one piece?
Yeah. Looking at the size of this boat, I would assume that, yeah, this was like
I'm
one.
I'm not looking for your nautical analysis, okay? It's not what you're known for. Just I don't know if you know that. I was like a rhetorical question I was asking out loud. I was not asking you to wax eloquent with your nautical historical. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, that's when it was being a casino and stuff. It's a good billboard.
Look, for those of you listening... Go check out this ship, all right?
Oh, the SS Great Eastern.
Yeah, it is this anomaly of a monstrosity that was designed for one thing, and that is to lay cable across the ocean. And got a paddle wheel in addition to, I guess that's how it was.
Sails.
No, no sails.
Look how big.
There were smokestacks, man.
What?
Yeah, go
Oh,
back.
Yeah.
Look at that.
No, they look like sails, too, though.
Dude, stop it.
Those are sails.
Those are sails.
And smokestacks.
And smokestacks. Wow.
Two big-ass anchors, man.
Gigantic. I mean, again, was it? It must have been the biggest ship of its age. I mean,
look how big that hold is.
It's almost two-thirds the size of
an aircraft
carrier. Yeah, that's big, man. That's and it's for 1858.
Yeah. So yeah, that's actually cool. I never heard. See, now we learned something new today.
Aren't you happy with yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. It's always good to be.
Voyage, 1859. Yeah, it's your first voyage. Yeah.
It's always good to be happy.
And then William Harrison was appointed captain in 1856. He drowned in 1860 while sailing in the ship's boat. Not a very good captain.
Yeah, when you drown, that's not good. How did he drown? Hey, boys, let's go for a swim.
The launch of the ship cost 170,000 pounds.
The launch of the ship? What do you mean? When the cost at launch was 170,000 pounds?
Okay. Yeah, the launch. But so I think it, like right here, a bankruptcy. This ship is cursed with problems. Right. So estimated cost of building the ship was 500,000 pounds, $500,000. Scott Russell offered a very low tender, so lowest bidder. Right. Then we go through this. It looks like the ship had some problems.
You think?
Yeah.
Probably mostly crew related. Hey, what about here's a better question. That's the Atlantic, which is tiny. How about the Pacific? How is that son of a bitch get a cable across that? Or we didn't even bother, right? Who wants to talk to the Chinese?
Right.
But we had to talk to the Philippines because we had embassies and shit there. How'd we do
it? I don't know. I don't know.
Wait a minute. I thought you were a nautical historian here a second ago. What happened?
Only with the North Atlantic. I did a specialty.
It's a narrow specialty, but a specialist I am.
Yeah, and it's due to longitude, latitude, too. So
see, that's the beauty. You want to know the truth? That is the beauty of today in history, right? We start with the first commercial transatlantic telephone service inaugurated on this date in 1927, and we did not get any further than that, right? 1953, Harry Truman announced.
Oh, they cheated, dude. They went from Alaska.
That's bullshit.
They didn't go from like
San they went like across the Bering Straits to Russia and then down. Then we go by land.
Well, it looks like they went from. It looks like they went from like Oregon.
On this date in 1989, Emperor Hirohito died at the age of 87. Like people thought that guy was a god, and when MacArthur made him go on the radio after World War II, they were like, who's the guy with the weird...
Who is this man speaking to us?
Yeah, with the weird little kind of squirrel voice. It doesn't sound like the voice of God.
Oh, so we had to talk to Australia. So there's...
Yeah, we did. Ooh, that's a long cable.
Yeah. That would be a venture. I'm going to have to look into this. Now you got me like...
You like this kind of shit. This is like Shackleton.
Yeah, this is like crazy stuff, man.
Or Shackleford, whatever his name is.
Shackleton. Not Ferd. Shackleton. Sir. And it's Sir. He was knighted
sir,
by
call
the
him Sir. Call him Sir!
Look easy. How big this cable room is. See how I'm talking about? Yeah. That's cable, dude. See,
and where was that? That's on a current ship?
That's on a ship right now in the Pacific.
That's laying cables.
Yeah, look at that.
This thing, it looks like a it looks like a tank a city would have that would accumulate fresh water like deep in the ground as it's purified for a whole community. I mean, these guys are standing in this well of, you know, this well, and there's cable wrapped around it, and it's absolutely enormous.
And the cable's as thick as, probably it looks like a large garden hose.
Yeah, he's got his hand around it. His hand can fit around it, and he's kind of walking it around. That's a lot of laps around that circle, bro.
So the first 7,000 kilometers of new internet cable that will connect New Zealand to the United States is being loaded by hand into giant spools. Wow. So when was this? 2017. So this is new.
New. They're still laying them, man, because the Russians keep hacking us.
Maybe the Russians teach, like, lobsters.
They do.
To go down there. And they have little, yeah.
Because they can't do it because they don't have enough money. So they got to train chimps and lobsters to go down there and do their Russian bidding because that's the kind of people they are. They're idiots.
Russians. Why do you hate them so much?
Oh, I hate them. They're like Putin's like an imposter. It's like, oh, really, please? Dr. Evil? Right. Give me a break. But he's a combination of James Bond and Dr. Evil, and he pulls it off, and the whole world goes, oh, my God, what did Putin say? Right. And you don't have anybody standing there going, he can't do it. He doesn't have the money. Right. Yeah. They've got two of them. Okay. That's it. Two. That's it. Yeah. So it's tough to be Dr. Evil when you don't got no money. So that's where it goes.
These cables are going to be laid by 2019. So they're probably
already down. 2019.
And they ran from Oregon to New Zealand, it said.
All right. Say goodbye to everybody.
Yeah, I will talk to you guys later. Right. We'll do Gun Talk Monday, and then
I'll have gun questions for you tomorrow based on what I see today.
Okay.
So
good.
Tomorrow's gun question. Monday will be Gun Talk.
Gun Talk. All right, bye.
Got it. See you, Mike. There he is, the man, the myth, the legend, Michael Musselman. All right, I'm out the door. So if you're just tuning in, don't touch that dial. Today's show is actually pretty funny. And again, I'm funny, so if I tell you it's funny, then trust me, it's funny. Today is also Bob Nielsen's birthday. Okay? So happy birthday to the godfather of all marine radio. Right? Yeah, Bobby Nielsen. I didn't see how many years he is, so we'll leave that be. But happy birthday to Bob. He is, no kidding, he is the godfather of All Marine Radio, which makes him the godfather of post-traumatic winning. So, well done, my friend. And I can never say thank you enough to that guy. He and Turner Construction. So, more him than Turner, truth be told. Don't tell anybody I said that, though. Have a great day. On a Thursday, All Marine Radio is over and out.
Hey, Joe.